Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ready for a digital dive? You're listening to the GZ Chop Shop podcast, the weekly tech and gaming media podcast that breaks down the latest news, lore, and more. So plug in, because the GZ Chop Shop starts now.
Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the GZ Chop Shop podcast. I'm your host, Project Itachi, joined by my good friend and co-host, Wardeners, as always. I know it has been a while. The last episode you guys heard from me was in January when we had Mr. Bernard Chong join us as a special guest. And the last time you guys saw Wardeners was actually last year, November. So before we get into the episode, just explaining pretty much what's been going on with us. We actually had an episode in February, but due to some unforeseen technical issues, we pretty much decided not to air the episode. And then the rest of the month, I pretty much just needed some time off. There was like a lot of projects I was trying to sort out and work on. So we decided to come back this month to pick things up. And pretty much this episode is just, honestly, I gotta vent a little bit, and it's oddly going to be in line with what the podcast is about. But at the same time, I just gotta let everyone know, I think the universe hates me already in 2024. First, kicking off, before we even started this episode, as always, when I try to get this podcast going, Windows, my computer, being it's a little older than what I record this podcast on, had to do an update. It took the entire 30 minutes I allotted it to do its update. And that's with the NVIDIA graphics update and then the Windows update on top of that. So we still were behind a few minutes in starting the recording because of that. But before even getting to this point of recording, the universe started hating me last month. So I don't know if you know, I've been trying to get my hands on a PlayStation Portable, not like desperately where it's a must, but more so like, oh, you know, I check the PlayStation website, and if I see it, cool. If I don't, big, you know, whoop-de-doo, I'll look for it in the future like I did the PS5. Well, GameStop, which, by the way, I am no longer a fan of GameStop. I'm actually ticked at GameStop and Amazon, and I'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, boy.
But GameStop pulled the fast one on me, and they lost all of my good graces and any leeway I had for them in the future. So I went on GameStop's website, and I just, out of curiosity, right after all these sites said, hey, there's restocks going around. So I said, I was just curious to see if GameStop had one. Well, GameStop said they had one PlayStation Portable in stock via their website. So I said, wow, that's awesome. And the only way you could even put that in your cart is to be a pro member. So to even get the PlayStation Portable, you have to sign up to be a PlayStation Pro member. Or not PlayStation Pro, a GameStop Pro member.
That's the yearly,
subscription, right? $25 to the magazine that I don't think anyone reads anymore. And it gets you all their perks that I think people only use if they actually go to the store. So I say, okay, cool. That seems fair. That's how you keep scalpers at bay. So I go to opt in to get the pro membership. And as I go and I sign up and get the pro membership and I do everything, they're like, cool, we got it. We got your order. And then they send the email. We're preparing your order. Now, for people who don't know, what GameStop does is if you opt to do in-store pickup, they say wait until they send you the email saying it's ready. But they basically just take the payment information and then they're supposed to be preparing your order in store. Then the store sends you an email saying it's ready to come pick it up. Now, the website said it had one and it said, and then I refreshed the page. And after I bought my one, it said out of stock. So I said, cool, I got the last one. Now I'm just waiting for the store to tell me, come get it. Lo and behold, about an hour, almost 2 hours after waiting, the store cancels my order. And I'm like, oh no, why did the store cancel my order? What they did not cancel, though, was my subscription. But they canceled my PlayStation Portable order. Basically, and after reading to some of the Reddits and stuff, basically, the website is just a sham. You can't trust anything on the website. And I pinpointed the store, and it said the store that I bought it from had it, XYZ. So whatever probably happened, there's several things that probably happened. By the time I put in my request, I think right before the store opened, someone probably walked in and bought the one they had immediately. So before the cashier even saw my order, they sold it. That's one possibility. Next possibility is they probably didn't have it, but the website always said one to loop people into that subscription because I didn't get the product that I bought the subscription for in the first place. But I had to pay for that doggone subscription. So sure, I didn't pay for a portal because I didn't get one, but they roped me into that subscription. Now, I know some people are thinking, well, why didn't you just call the store to find out if they had it? Because at the time, and when it's hot commodity items like that, every second you pretty much waste dragging it out, you increase your chances of it being sold out. Because I thought of that. I said, maybe I should just call and first and see. But the time that I would call was time that someone could have grabbed it. Because a call is not a hold. Just because I say, all right, I'm coming in, they have no obligation to hold it for me just because I called. So in those times I would have waited to make that phone call, I just figured pull the trigger as close to lock it down as I can, and then I'm good. But they didn't have it, and I got roped into a yearly subscription that I already immediately canceled, and I was like, wow, so the website was a lie. I got roped into a subscription. GameStop's down so bad that they're using their terrible website to rope you in.
You know,
and I never got the portal.
They've been struggling for well over a decade now, even more so the past few years since like everything's definitely gone more digital. And they've done almost nothing to change their business model.
No, nothing. So now they're using like sly tactics to keep that revenue going.
Instead of anything reasonable or innovative to try to stay relevant in the market.
Yeah, that's one. Of the universe hating me, of me not getting something. For the last 2 months, I have not gotten anything that I've actually ordered in the mail.
So you still have a portal membership right now.
The universe really hates me right now. Second is Amazon. And it seems like maybe it's a gaming thing. I don't know. Maybe there's something going on that's affecting gaming packages. I don't know. But there was a sale on Persona games. And we talk a lot on this show about collector value, physical copies, you know.
Yeah, I think you were saying you saw Amazon was having like a sell.
Yeah.
And it was on all their physical copies. And you were real happy because you got a good deal. You bought a bunch of games.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, you know, it was because if you buy two games today, two games brand new, that's like $140 immediately. You're spending like $120, $140 easily. So to get like three games for that exact same price is now a steal. So I said, well, you know what? Final Fantasy Rebirth just dropped. I actually want the physical copy of it. I have the digital copy of the first one remake. I actually want the physical copy because I have one physical PS5 game. I've been leaning into the digital because all the game stores around me are gone or closed up. But I said, you know what? No, I'm going to use Amazon. I've got Prime. I pay for Prime. Might as well use it. So I said, I'm going to get the physical copy of Rebirth. That's what I want. I want the physical copy of Rebirth. And Persona, both 5 and Reload, were on sale. One Reload was $40, or not Reload, 5 Royal was $40, and 3, which is still new, was like $56. And that's not even on sale in the digital marketplace. It's still full price. Only Royal is on sale in digital marketplace. So anyway, I get all 3. And I put them in my cart and I put in my order. And I'm like, cool. I couldn't get the portal last month, but at least I got these 3 games. So the money that would have gone to the portal is going to these 3 games. I put that order in on February 29th. As of today of the recording of this episode, it says delayed, not yet shipped. It was supposed to come this past Saturday. And then like late night Saturday, it says delayed, not yet shipped. They haven't charged me, but I also just don't have an order. And I'm afraid to cancel it because then I'd have to start all over. Now, the issue I have with this particular order is if anyone has used Affirm, you know how Affirm works. You just pay it off over the months. That way you're not paying this big bill all up front. So whenever you use any of your, I can't remember the term now, but your spend limit, even if you didn't use it, it subtracts from your limit. So whether it's refunded or not, it doesn't come back. As far as though they're concerned, that spend limit it's gone. You got to earn that back. So I used some of my spend limit. It was like $180. So I was like, okay, cool. But that $180 is just gone. It doesn't come back. So I have this delayed, not yet shipped order, which I've heard from people could take from weeks to months. To one guy said it took him 2 years to get his order. And I'm sitting here like,
you're gonna get your copies when PlayStation 6 drops.
Dude, and that's what it feels like. And the thing is, I said, okay, if I cancel the order, I still would have to buy those games outright elsewhere and start over. And I'm like, that's too much of a hassle because they said there's no guarantee they can always cancel it. So I'm going to go on the limb here thinking, okay, maybe I cancel it, just start the order over, but then I still don't get that limit back that I initially invested into it because it's just gone. So I got to spend more of my limit to try it again, just for it to maybe fail again, or they can't cancel it. And then, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, it'll get there eventually when the PS7 launches or something. And yeah, so I've put in orders over the last 2 months and I don't order a lot. I have yet to get anything I've put in an order for. I didn't get the portal. I got stuck with a subscription for a year. I put in with Amazon Prime. I'm a paying Prime member. Didn't get my order. I think even right now it still says delayed, not yet shipped. And this is the first time I've ever seen that.
Also, I've had similar issues with Amazon where I've ordered like, you know, just a couple items. This has happened like 2 or 3 times over the past few years where I'd order a couple items and I'd get the delayed message. And then if they showed up, it would be, I think I had one. It was like a giant Snorlax mug. I was like, that's pretty dope. Let me get that. It was unnecessarily large. I'm gonna get that. And I remember because I ordered it last year, and like I think it was about February, but it wasn't until about May because I'd forgotten about it. I think it was like $15 or something. I'd forgotten about it, and then eventually I got an email that was like it was canceled, and it was like months later.
Yeah,
and I've had something like that happen a couple times, so I'm really weird about unless it's something I can't go physically by myself in my area, like within the North Texas area, I won't buy it on Amazon anymore.
I'm leaning.
It's not just from
now,
that one instance; it's just from other things. And I'm the same way with game. Like I'm not a fan of the digital era, and I prefer the physical copy if possible. But I've kind of just gotten to a point, because of issues with GameStop that I've had, not quite as bad as yours, mainly because they like to do this thing where when you go in their store, they'll promo. Like when you do see promo, whether it's, you know, you're on the internet or you're driving by and you see it, whatever the case is, they'll promo certain things. But when you go in the store, they don't actually have any of those things. And then every single time I walk in, even if it was just like I'm with my daughter and she wanted something out of there, like whatever it was, usually it's like a gift card for like something with like one of the games she's playing. They'll harass me about getting a damn membership. And I'm like, y'all's membership, if that, no wonder y'all are failing. Like you're solely reliant on memberships that nobody needs. So nobody wants to purchase because it doesn't actually benefit them, because when they do use it, you either don't have the product or you don't save enough money for it to actually matter.
Mm-hmm. Pro back in the early 2000s actually was something.
When I remember GameStop as a teenager, and it was worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it anymore.
You
walk into a store now, and like, I hate to say this because I love like anime comic book stores, but GameStop is not an anime comic book store. When you walk into a GameStop, that's mostly what it is now. You walk in and the entire middle section and then the front half of the store has nothing to do with video games. It's just anime comics, which is not what their image is.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into GameStop, you're there for games and whatever console you're wanting to get the game on, accessories, whatever. And then in the back on three different like half walls, there's what's left of some accessories.
The OG GameStop, games. Yeah, games and
like,
stuff.
And a large amount of them, like they'll have some new games that just dropped. Like if they're really, really popular games, they might have some copies. But everything else is like much older copies of other games, which normally I wouldn't mind. I'd, you know, shift through them and see what they got, but they don't have enough to like really do that with, like to take your time and look, like just have such a small selection. Now we've been talking about this for years now. Like, unfortunately, GameStop's not what it used to be, and their image is very poor now, and they don't have much longer, and they haven't made any real pushes to change as a business, like to change their business model to try to stay relevant. It sucks, but
yeah, GameStop is definitely on its last leg. And they, like I said, they lost the last bit of good faith I had in them with that website. And it's funny because it's, you know, we're in 2024 and everything is leaning so heavily into digital. You would think it would just be the bare necessity to stay on top of your website as a tech media company, a tech media retailer. You would think that would be the head honchos, they know that people fall to the honey trap.
Like I'm just waiting for them to have to liquidate all their assets, and I'm gonna walk in there and buy. I'm just gonna buy everything.
Just buy everything. Just straight buy all
that's,
of it.
That's gonna be. I'm gonna walk in and be like, "You liquidating this building, GZ Chop Shop building?
GZ Chop Shop." I will keep an eye. If I could make it happen, I would keep an eye on the GameStop where I was supposed to get the portal. And if they were like, yeah, we got to close, and I had the means, I would go in and be like, all right, you're out. I'm buying this building, the new GZ Chop Shop headquarters right here. Show you how it's. And the thing is, they could make a comeback. They're just, I don't know what the board members or whatever are thinking, because you have all of these privately owned retro video game stores that are thriving.
I'm convinced, dude. I don't care what fucking the internet says, what information you know. I'm convinced that the board and the CEO, everyone that is portrayed to run GameStop, I am convinced that it's just one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Really angsty, like 90s kid with long hair, still wearing JNCOs and like a fucking Metallica shirt. and he's just like, just upset. And he's like, yes, like, what are you plotting? And, like, he doesn't really know. He's just angry at the world, making bad decisions until GameStop fails.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something I've had a gripe about for a lot of these media and some tech companies. I feel that these CEOs and these board members, they elect people that have no love or passion for what they've been elected to lead. They do not understand the industry from the consumer perspective, or they just don't care. Because when you, prime example, I think when they changed the head of Paramount, he was pretty clear he has no love for Star Trek. He's like, I don't like Star Trek. So why would you put someone like him in charge of one of the biggest franchises, one of the most iconic franchises across generations, that has no love for it?
Yeah.
And now look at it.
Trash.
Trash. And then the same thing with Disney. Yes, Disney is a juggernaut. Disney is pretty much the Microsoft of media. They just want to buy up everything, but they have no love of the things that they're buying. They just see it as a cash cow. They, with comics and Star Wars, they don't pay attention to the source material. Do they throw out bangers every now and then? Yeah. I mean, if you eventually throw enough spitballs at a wall, some of them are going to stick, but most of them aren't.
Well, I think most people agree that every since Endgame, the Marvel movies have been mostly very bad.
Yeah. And then I think there was someone who did a mashup on IG and said this is why they've been so bad. And it's been like most of the directors, and they just blatantly admitted they knew nothing about the source material. And some of them were just not into comics whatsoever. And then you have people that are coming in, they have no idea of the source material. They refuse to read the comics, but then they want to come in and change the lore and make their own, that, and basically use
what
the
happened
comic
with
as
Netflix
their social,
and The Witcher.
Yeah, and they use the and they use a comic book as their platform to make their own personal social justice argument.
Yeah,
and that, I'm like, no, that's not, this is not the your pedestal to make your own personal.
Say what you will about the One Piece live action, it was okay. I didn't hate it, but for compared to what we normally get with live action animes and games, it was good. Like, comparatively, so it was very good. And I think, well, first of all, it's very difficult to take something that fantastical of an anime and like make it live action. You know, it doesn't. Like, that'd be a tough translation there without making some changes. And let's be honest, we're not going to get, you know, 1200 episodes of live action. Like, they're going to have to tweak the story a little bit, make some changes, you know.
Yeah.
If we're being logical here, like, you got to give them some wiggle room. But that goes to show you what happens if you let the creator of said show or said manga and anime not direct it, but have his say. And that's what happened. And there, you know, Oda got to be the last say, like, you're going to do this, this, and this, or it's not happening. And that's what should be happening when you make these movies. If you really want them to succeed and do well, do that. I don't know why year after year, how is it YouTube creators are making better movies, like little mini movies on YouTube, than Hollywood can do? Even better written, not even just like CGI.
Oh, that's an easy solution, because the money they raise for their passion project, first of all, it's their passion project. They're putting their heart and soul into it. That's one. They want the viewer to enjoy the experience with them that they had in creating it, they want us to enjoy in viewing. They care about us as the viewer. That's one. Second, their marketing is almost non-existent. Their entire budget is going in to create a masterpiece. If you look at Hollywood, 70% of their budget is marketing. They will market the hell out of a movie. And if you pay attention to the marketing, they're using some of what is probably the best scenes in the entire movie in their minute trailer, along with scenes that aren't even in the movie that are good scenes that they removed for whatever reason in the trailer. All of their stuff goes to marketing over actually paying to make a decent movie. They're about casting the widest net in hopes of the biggest returns than actual viewer experience. Otherwise, they would hire people or hire advisors for these directors who aren't, you know, as well versed, because I would rather wait years for a comic book movie and for it to be done somewhat right. I am not saying it needs to be to the T, because I'm not a comic book purist and I don't vibe with comic book purists.
Well, again, it goes back to what I said earlier. It's unrealistic to expect
it to be to a T.
Yeah. Allow some reasonable changes to happen.
How the MCU started was perfect. It was slow and it was methodical and it had purpose. And it was the anticipation between for years that built the hype. And let both the source fans and new fans enjoy it in equal measure. It pulled enough from the source, but was original enough to appeal to everyone. And it worked. But now they're just kind of like, they're just pulling characters to draw people in. And then they're coming up with some shim sham story. And they're like, yeah, this will work. Throw. And the first signs of that was going to happen was with Star Wars.
That's how I paint.
And don't even get me started on art. Like, that's not what the podcast is about. But what I said. Anyway, to all the artists out there that actually spend years honing your craft and detailed work, I applaud you, because I see a lot of the stuff that some people get praised for as art, and I'm like, this is just insulting to actual artists who spend years learning all the different paint types and pen types and shadings and hours upon hours honing their craft. And then you get someone who comes across with a big whiteboard and smears one stream of paint and says, chaos. And then everyone does a little golf clap.
Man is pissed today. Man, on another note, I woke up to this information from you guys this morning. You can fill me in, because I'm just kind of speculating here. What happened with Solo Leveling?
Okay, so Solo Leveling has the episode 7.5 has the worst rating of any episode on Crunchyroll ever, of 62,000 dislikes, because it is it's basically a filler episode. It's a rehashing of the previous six episodes or seven episodes. And apparently people were just so ticked off about it that it only had like 29,000 likes, but it had 62,000 dislikes. So people were going ham on it. And it's basically put Solo Leveling in a bad spot. Because Solo Leveling came out strong. And
it's one of the most popular Korean mangas of all time.
A lot of people who are just getting, and I think it's not the people who've read it, but more the people who are just pure anime watchers, don't understand the pacing of Solo Leveling. It starts strong and then it has its world building, because that's important. It matters. So then it goes into its world building And then it goes straight strong, never stopping from there. But the problem is a lot of people were upset that, you know, it's like, well, it's so early in the season. Why are they having a recap episode? And I'm like, cool. I get that. It is only season one, probably going to have 12 episodes before they wrap up. Why have a recap episode? Cool. But hey, there's this thing called skipping and watching a whole nother anime.
I got to admit, man, when I look forward to, at the very least, I always have a Saturday or Sunday off. So usually, like, rarely do I work both weekend days. So I always look forward to I call it my anime day, where I just kind of catch up with all my animes, preferably on a Sunday when most of them come out. Mm-hmm. But I think Solo Leveling's on Saturday. But I was looking forward, like, it's kind of something I look forward to each week, to like watch the next episode of Solo Leveling. And I was definitely disappointed when I saw it was a filler. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I wasn't mad, but I was like, what the hell? Like, come on. But instead of watching the episode, I watched a few other animes that I needed to catch up on. Like, I was like, that sucks. Next week, I guess I'll see what happens next. Because sometimes, and I think a lot of people don't understand this, because this happened with Zom 100. Sometimes unforeseen things happen in studios, and before they get a chance to put a said episode out, it's a technical difficulty, whatever it is. Sometimes stuff happens and it causes delays. Mm-hmm. And that's when they put out a filler episode. And the filler episode's easy to make and put out when you already have episodes that are out, because you can just mash scenes together, do some voiceovers for, you know, whatever point of view you're trying to get, and just throw it out there. And I'm willing to bet they just had some kind of technical situation. Not maybe wasn't as bad as Zom 100, where they got really screwed over and had to wait months to put out another episode. But
and anyone who's read Solo Leveling knows that it's going to get intense in the future. Those animators are going to need time to animate a lot of stuff that's coming up in before the first season even wraps up. There's going to be a lot of fight scenes that, if they're poorly animated, they know they're going to get so much heck for that. If they're not sticking to the lore, it's going to give them problems. So I think what was happening was 7.5 was obviously already prepped up, probably because, I mean, if you haven't watched Solo Leveling, I've tried not to spoil it, but just the Cerberus interaction and how much detail you could tell went into that, and some of the boss fights already, how much detail goes into that. If people want that continued quality, you got to give these animators a break, a time, you know, some time, because I promise you, had they just not put out an episode and said we're skipping a week, people would have complained about that. So that's why I said in the group chat, I said, you know, this just comes down to viewer entitlement. That's just viewer entitlement rearing its ugly head.
Well, there's, and you can see a stark difference. I hate to say it, but at this point, it's pretty true. There's a stark difference between those of us who grew up only getting to watch anime on Toonami late at night on a Friday or Saturday, and that was our anime. That's all we got to see. We were, you know, if you wanted to read a light novel or a manga, you were very lucky if you could even find one that you were looking for, or the next
Barnes and Noble
at a Barnes and Noble. And that's, they didn't have close to what they have now. Mm-hmm. So there's a massive difference in, like, our generation of anime enjoyers and a lot of people now, like, that are getting into anime and stuff. They have no patience, man.
No.
They're quick to ridicule.
They didn't come around and call me a gatekeeper. I don't care. They didn't come around in the era when you wanted your anime and you either had to wait for the late night cable run of it, or you had to go to a video store and you were lucky if you found one that sold anime beyond just Dragon Ball Z. Like, for me, it was Suncoast Video, and I would have to go downtown, because they were the only place in my area that sold multiple anime, I'd have to go downtown each month, because that's how often they would get it, to buy my anime. If the animators took time off, guess what? That was like 2 months before I could get the next season. And people are upset that a week of a recap episode happens. Like, you in your own Crunchyroll, there are hundreds of, if anything, that's the perfect excuse to catch up on that anime you forgot about, or start that when you said, oh, you know what? I want to start watching that. That's literally a free pass to start a whole new. That's what I did. And a week passed, and then they were back on schedule, and I was fine. I was, you know, but we've talked about that too, like gamer entitlement, anime watcher entitlement. Like, they're the best and worst communities to be a part of, because there's no, it's very rare you can find a middle ground in it. Like, there's people who are in the middle, like us, where we're just kind of like, eh, it's yay or nay. But even we have moments where we're just like, no, it's either A or it's B. There's no in between.
No kidding.
But yeah, with Solo Leveling, honestly, I just say, if you like Solo Leveling, if you read it, in my opinion, the anime is perfectly fine. And I think that they're trying not to get caught up into being, they want to be hyped, but they don't want to be overly hyped, because then they don't get to take a break.
Now, have you caught up on a Ninja Kamui?
No, I keep forgetting to do that because it requires me logging in to another streaming service.
I was a little bummed, because like, at first I was getting away watching it on Adult Swim, but I guess they, after a bit, they kind of lock you out of that. So,
yep, go figure.
But they get a pass for me. They get a pass because it is an Adult Swim thing. And for me, like, Adult Swim can have all the animes they want. Like, because that was my childhood. I wanted to watch anime, it was on Adult Swim. So I don't mind it. But yeah, you need to watch it, man. Episode 4.
I'm gonna do that this weekend. I gotta, you know, like, we've been doing this podcast, gotta get caught back up on the podcast. And but I'm gonna squeeze that in. But yes. Anyway, we're back, guys. We will be putting out episodes a little bit more frequently again for all of you. So I appreciate you guys giving us grace and patience. I do have some episodes planned. Some of you guys have been giving me some topics that you actually want us to cover. So we are going to be covering those. So look forward to that in the future. Make sure, if you haven't already, to hit the subscribe button, hit that follow button wherever you're listening to this, so you guys know the next time we're putting out an episode. And if you want to support the podcast and everything else we do, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/OSN media. A lot of stuff up there, so make sure to go and check it out and visit our website, osntacmedia.com. You can listen to all of our podcasts in one nifty little place, too. I think in the future, we're going to be rolling out some more Afterthoughts After Dark podcast as well. That's our more grounded everything goes topic podcast. So if you want to hear the other stuff we talk about, go check it out. Definitely worth it. Anyway, we're out of here for this week. You guys have been amazing. Take care of yourself and each other. We will catch all you wonderful people on the next podcast. Later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? Project Itachi here. Did you enjoy the show? If so, think about supporting us on Patreon or Acast for exclusive perks, content, and more. Also, visit our store, thegzshop.com. You can find all of our links on our website, osn-media.com. Until next time.